You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. According to the news, Facebook shares plunged 19% last week. And the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, lost about $15 billion in the process. As far as I can tell, though, no one is saying that this spells Facebook's demise. In the meantime, Amazon and Google, their parent companies, are in a race to catch up with Apple, that just became the first company in history to be valued at $1 trillion. It's no coincidence, I think, that all these companies are in one way or another in the same business, whether through their technology or their social media platforms. That business is to connect us, and while they're at it, they're also trying to sell things to us. But who could argue that social media hasn't influenced and changed us too? What about our religious beliefs and practices? Has social media influenced and changed them as well? Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. We're going to talk social media and religion. Pastor Trevor Sutton joins us. He's a PhD student at Concordia Seminary, co-author of the book Authentic Christianity, How Lutheran Theology Speaks to a Postmodern World, and a recent column titled How Facebook is Transforming Religion. Trevor, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have referred to Facebook as a modern Proteus. What do you mean by that?
Proteus is from Greek mythology, and he was kind of an interesting figure that whenever you tried to capture Proteus, he would immediately change shapes and change forms. So the second you sort of got your arms around Proteus, you had something different in your hands. And that would be a way that I see Facebook has changed immensely in the last 14-15 years that it's been in existence. It began as this, you know, small college website, and now it's 2 billion users worldwide. It started as this thing where it was primarily younger users, and now it's all generations, spanning, you know, very young to very elderly. And if you think about how much Facebook has changed in a short amount of time, compare it to Ford Motor Company. They've been around 100 years and more, and they're still making cars. They're really not changed all that much. Facebook's been around 15 years, and it has changed over and over and over again. So I see it as being like Proteus. You get your arms around what this thing is, and suddenly it's something new.
I think that the founder and creator of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, was a very earlier adopter of the potential of that platform. I think it was probably only a couple of years into its existence when he had plans. He said, I want this to replace the internet for people. I want Facebook to be their experience online. Has that been reached, in your opinion?
I don't know if it's been reached as far as replacing the internet. I would say this, that as far as if you track how people access the internet, they've gone from accessing it primarily on a computer to now accessing it mobile first, is what they call it. And that means that you're using the internet more on your phone than you are on a desktop computer. So in that regard, I think, you know, Facebook is one of these things that it's not just at home, it's not just at the office, but wherever your phone is, wherever your internet connected device is, Facebook is there with you. So in a certain sense, you could say it maybe hasn't replaced the internet, but it has really been in unison with the internet, and its tentacles are kind of everywhere.
So refresh our memory about a recent scandal. It turned out to be a financial, but also a data scandal, the Cambridge Analytica scandal, and the congressional hearings that featured a very somber-looking Mark Zuckerberg representing Facebook.
Yes, he was somber-looking, as you would imagine. So the Cambridge Analytica scandal, what that was is they were a London-based political data firm. And back in 2014, they sort of using a personality survey, one of these surveys that you see all over Facebook. This survey, you would answer some questions, you would accept some terms and conditions. And those terms and conditions allowed them to collect your data from your Facebook page. That would be your profile data, your interests, your likes, all of these different things, and then to target digital ads to you based on that information. But it didn't just end there. The real big issue was that it also allowed them to have access to your friends' data. So it wasn't just you giving your personal data, but everyone who was a friend of yours on Facebook, their data was able to be mined as well. So obviously, as you would imagine, this was a big breach in trust with Facebook. And that's what led to Mark Zuckerberg having to go to Washington, doing these congressional hearings and what has kind of become known as his apology tour.
Okay, so do you think that we have tended to underestimate, as users and consumers of social media, have we tended to underestimate the influence that it has in our lives, not only in terms of, you know, what's getting shared and sold about us, but how it actually shapes our lives and our way of thinking?
I would absolutely say yes, we have underestimated, or at least I have personally underestimated. I'd feel safe to say that societally we've all underestimated how powerful this thing is. There's been a great deal of research that in the last, you know, 5 or so years have come out. Research from the University of Michigan talking about how there's diminished sense of well-being that correlates to Facebook use. German researchers, I found this really fascinating. They've actually found that there's an increase in feelings of envy based on your Facebook use. So this thing that we think is just innocuous and really just a fun pastime, it actually changes our well-being. It changes our contentment and the things that we might envy or so forth. And beyond just the research, I would say look around and see how these things have changed us. Go to an airport terminal and people look sort of like zombies walking around the terminal on their phones. We're close to a college campus where I live, and that campus has just tons and tons of students looking on their phone and presumably checking in on some sort of social media platform. So I'd say, yes, this thing has a reach. It has an influence. And my guess is we've probably not quite estimated that correctly.
Do Facebook and the other social media platforms, do they appear to understand their own influence? Is their influence even bigger than they appear to know?
See, and that's a great question. And I'm hesitant to say yes. I'm hesitant to say no, they don't. What I'm safe to say is sort of perhaps. Perhaps they're understanding their influence. I think recently with the Cambridge Analytica scandal and things like that, there's beginning to be this sense in which they're reflecting, we've been at this for a dozen years now, and or even longer than that, and they're realizing that this is a powerful thing that they're working on and tapping into. So I do think Facebook's beginning to think in terms of this. You know, they began saying that their motto was going to be move fast and break things. And now Mark Zuckerberg is part of this apology tour. You know, he's been talking about how he wants to not only make these tools, but also make sure that these tools for connection are being used well and being used in constructive, helpful ways. So I do think there's a sense in which Silicon Valley and social media is starting to realize, yeah, we are influencers in North America and in the world, but I'll sort of believe it when I see it in the long term.
Pastor Trevor Sutton is our guest. We're talking about social media and religion. He's co-author of the book Authentic Christianity, How Lutheran Theology Speaks to a Postmodern World, and a recent column titled How Facebook is Transforming Religion. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about technological determinism, and we'll get to the question of how it is that Facebook and other social media may, in fact, be influencing religion, beliefs, and practices. Stay tuned.
When you pray, give us this day our daily bread. What do you mean by daily bread? What do you really need to live? If you've ever puzzled over questions like these, you won't want to miss the August issue of The Lutheran Witness. With articles on downsizing, giving, and yes, what we mean by our daily bread, you're sure to come away with a more biblical view of wealth and poverty, possessions, and generosity. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
How was school today, kids?
Crazy. Hector's cherry tear got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. School.stpaulhamel.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking social media and religion on this Friday, August the 3rd. Pastor Trevor Sutton is our guest, author of a recent column titled How Facebook is Transforming Religion. You mentioned a term in your piece, technological determinism. What is it, Pastor Sutton?
So technological determinism, it's a theory of technology, and what it is it studies or articulates the ways in which technology structures or even determines what we do and how we do it. So depending on which scholar you're reading or hearing from, they'll be all over a spectrum when it comes to technological determinism. Some will say that technology is completely neutral, and it's just waiting for an actor or a person to come and use it in a certain way. Others will be on the other end of the spectrum, and they'll say technology determines everything you do, and you're really almost passive in relation to this piece of technology. It determines, you know, how you act, what you value, things like that. And then you'll find a great deal of scholars that'll be in the middle that will say that technology is sort of, it inclines you to act a certain way or behave a certain way. So for instance, cars and roads can help you think through technological determinism, that you're sort of, you have a determined route that you can go based on the technology of a paved road and what kind of road your car can go on. That sort of determines where you can and cannot go. So that's, in a nutshell, what technological determinism is.
How have social media already demonstrated the ability to influence society on a large scale? Apart from religion, what other ways have they massively influenced society?
Social media, I would say it's tantamount to the Gutenberg press and the way that it's kind of changed the world. So going back several years, looking at these big kind of social movements that have happened, the Arabic Spring had a kind of a genesis in some social media issues. The Occupy movement, Black Lives Matter, all of these really big kind of movements, they may have happened in a particular place, you know, physically, but then they get tweeted and retweeted and liked and shared through social media, and suddenly these things that might be quite isolated spread around the world. So it's changed the world in that way, but then in another sense, I think it's changed the world on a kind of atomic level for personal kind of individuals. That I see how it's changed me individually, that I'll be spending time with my daughters. And I hate to say, but I'll see something and say, boy, that'd be a great picture for Facebook. Or I'll be out running and something will pop in my head and I'll say, oh, that'd be a great thing for tweeting that. And I'm just feeling, not just on this massive scale, but on this personal scale, how these things are shaping the way I see the world, the way that I think and construct sentences.
Does this even affect religious beliefs, Pastor Sutton?
I believe it does influence religious beliefs, or if not, it shapes how we are, and thus it shapes sort of how we experience religion in certain ways. So, for instance, one way that I'm really concerned about what Facebook is doing to us, I think we go to Facebook to be justified, that we determine our righteousness, we determine our worth based on the number of likes or favorites that we have. And the more likes, the more favorites you have, the more retweets you get. That means, you know, I'm righteous in the eyes of the world. And I think religiously, that's a very dangerous thing. It's very dangerous for us to seek justification, to seek our worth from anyone or anywhere other than God. Another way that we've seen this shaping religion, a researcher out of Baylor, he found that there's a correlation between internet usage and religious tinkering. And what he means by that is the more time that people spend on the internet, the more likely they are to hold to this wide array of conflicting, even heterodoxical beliefs. And what they do is they kind of take a little bit from here and take a little bit from here and take a little bit from here, and they'll assemble that together into their own personal religious belief. And really, if you think about that, that just mirrors what the internet is. Hypertext, internet, you know, linking one thing to another. That is just mixing this wide array of things from one thing to the next to the next. And so it concerns me a little bit to see what does that look like 20, 30, 50 years from now? Do we have a very peculiar faith because we've assembled it from the internet?
Finally, what do you think pastors, theologians, even religious scholars, what should they do with respect to the influence of social media? About 30 seconds here, Pastor Sutton.
I think the most important thing that pastors, theologians, lay people, that all of us can do is to help people find their worth in Christ Jesus alone and not find their worth in the likes, the favorites, the retweets, anything like that. Another thing is to help us to think through where are we spending our time and what are the formative influences in our lives. I think that the best thing a pastor can do is for him to have his people be formed by Scripture, to be formed by divine worship, to be formed by the grace of God in Jesus. And that ought to be the thing that's primarily forming who we are and the worth that we have. If it's not our worth in Jesus, sounds cliche, but I'd say it's worthless.
Pastor Trevor Sutton is a PhD student at Concordia Seminary, co-author of the book Authentic Christianity, How Lutheran Theology Speaks to a Postmodern World, and a recent column titled How Facebook is Transforming Religion. You can read it and purchase Authentic Christianity at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Sutton, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part this week by LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. They support almost 200 chaplains who are committed to meeting the spiritual needs of military personnel and their families. Learn more at lcms.org/armed forces, serving those who serve. lcms.org/armed forces. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller introduce us to a very difficult book in the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon. We'll begin a series with Pastor Paul McCain on Luther's Small Catechism, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the Emmaus disciples. Something that so profoundly changes our behavior, the way we spend our time, how we devote our attention to the news we read, our loved ones, those who are far and near, that claims to connect us all together and sometimes drives us all apart, should be of ongoing concern, especially to Christians. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.